I'm bleeding.
Blog Talk Radio.
Public Enemy, Fight the Power, like we're still doing all the time when you're looking at all the news that we're dealing with nowadays. Had to get the initial early parts of the opening together with my little sound, you know, like the opening start with my music, correct, a little cold, or maybe allergies. That's what I sound stuffed up. Okay, this is Son and Friends. What's going on? We haven't been around in a minute. A little sabbatical last week. Okay, Son, Eric Citizen Payne, I go by, or just Eric Payne, or K-Son, with the friends, Brother Byron Saunders, legendary historian, Brother Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman who worked with my mom at WLIB Radio. That's what's happening. So, lots got on in the last week or two, huh? I'm looking at something right now where I'm just looking at the current thing on as I'm watching Joy talking to you about this dude who was a Roger Stone aide who just basically wanted, the rioters to really kind of riot and make it threatening to the representatives if they didn't do what the rioters wanted them to do. Thugged out mob type of behavior. It's funny how these cats, they don't believe in America for all Americans. They don't believe in America for all people who are Americans. But I progress. Let me digress a little bit. And, the Academy, Motion Picture Academy, everybody's talking about Will. Everybody's still talking about that, right? Still talking about the situation. I'm hearing some very intense conversations. All you got to do is go on YouTube, right? Go anywhere on social media. That's how it is nowadays, right? We're all social. Everybody commenting, it's like high school intensified, huh? It's a community. Put your stuff out there and you expose yourself to a certain degree. And that's what it is. And everybody's going to have something to say. Everybody's going to want to put their two. Everybody's got an opinion. You know what they say. But I think, personally, it might have been excessive. But we'll talk about it with the fellas. 10 years is a long time. It's a decade. It seems a little bit, I got the feeling that it was a black tax on that, like the black sentences that the black criminals be getting, on average, more time than their white counterparts. So it kind of felt like that. But, it's unfortunate that had to happen. And also, we're going to be talking about Mayor Eric. Let me bring Brother Byron Saunders. He's sitting there holding on. See, he's talking about the shooting today, Mayor Adams. Going around with COVID and no mask, going everywhere. That's a big spread. What's up, Byron Saunders, legendary historian? How you doing,
oh
brother?
Oh, my God.
Well, this is a blessed week. This is Holy Week. And I'm reminded of the rationale for even being a part of the divine order of what we consider in this spiritual world a holy, very presence of a week. So I'm going to give blessings to that to start off with, because we certainly need blessings at this moment. Get your feet washed tomorrow. And if you don't understand that, because that's part of the spiritual, is part of this is understanding that you prepare yourself for the blessing, the grace to come. All right, getting back to the shooting, getting back to the politics, getting back to all things insane in our current present situation, the slap, all of that. Oh my goodness. Oh, let me think about something.
Do you think 10 years is excessive? 10 years is excessive? You think 10 years is
okay? It is. And what precedent has been set to have the Academy even make that call? When, quite frankly, this is another reality of black profiling. Because ultimately, what you're telling me now is we can't jog, we can't play the dozens, because if you don't know what the dozens are, you write these jokes that are part of your scenario to set up more of a roast than an Academy honoree, because you're roasting everything as comedy in your routine. So whatever the matter was that it came to the slap, yes, 10 years is so excessive. It demands accountability now. And yes, why are you making him the poster child for all of your other past bullshit? And you know I don't like using that on this dialogue, on this language, on the show, but it is total bullshit. You've got Roman Polanski, Woody Weinstein. They're egregious crimes of committing rape. Let me repeat that again. Rape. So you're going to tell me a bitch slap of a black man is now your watermark? That's your watermark now. All right, because I have to go back in history and time, because that also reminds me of the slave laws created in this country to do one thing: make sure black folks don't go to violence.
Help me understand. Make it sound like a little bit of a leap with that one, bro. Build that bridge for me.
Yeah, but it's not a leap.
I can walk across it with you.
No, because it's ultimately we're going to use the black man to be your whipping boy. Because 10 years is excessive. Yes, I agree. What he did was extremely stupid. All right, and it was demeaning. It's disgraceful, and to himself. But you know
what?
All that he did, Eric, he apologized in tears. We forgave.
Yeah, he didn't apologize to Chris. Come on.
He didn't apologize to Chris. Show. Yeah, it was a damn good show for that. But you know what? Chris
didn't apologize to Chris.
That's why he benefited. The ratings were great. Ticket sales were great. And so you're going to penalize this. Now, here's someone wrote this, and I think this is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. I said, okay, folks, he'll accept his punishment. But this is where we as a village become even more sensitive to the understanding, because now you can't conflate everything that's happening, because this week's entire Holy Week is about what is missed. And if you're missing that point, because you keep telling me of your Christian virtue, moral codes, and ethics, bullshit.
Yeah, you build it.
Because
build
this week
it,
is all about forgiving.
All things
all
not being equal. You're making it real. Let's put it
away.
All things
on,
are not
see?
Equal, the
because
argument that you're trying to make. What are you talking about, this guy? I can't swing to that. I can't
it's
salute
there.
To that flag
can,
of flag folks.
Deny
Wayne,
it,
jump in
there,
Wayne Gilman, a legendary historian. Help this brother build this shaky bridge that he's trying to build to connect all these points.
I'm scared. I don't know what I'm walking into here, man. It sounded pretty feisty to me. You know, are we still on the Will Smith Chris Rock thing? Or,
oh my God! Please,
we're talking about the suspension from the Motion Picture Academy of 10 years as to whether it is
right.
excessive. We both agree that it's excessive. Byron is just trying to make some connections. that require a little bit more of a Pythagorean theorem concept and a lot of configurating to make those connections.
Calculate.
While I agree with some, I think you're protesting a little bit too much, but go ahead, Eden.
Okay.
I will say this much, since I have an opportunity. I mean, I am nowhere near in the lofty heights of either one of you with respect to acting talent and stuff like that. I'm an observer, and just recently I found out what a camera is. I hope to learn how to edit film. I don't know. It sounds like I've gone through an epiphany or an awakening in the last year and a half. And and as you both know, I have family who is in the business, and you know, I wasn't even swayed by that. But you know, the thing is, I admire talent. I'm seeing things from a completely different eye. And I tell you, I was upset when the slap around the world went down. I felt embarrassed, and I said, "Man, this is a, you know, a tradition amongst, and I don't want to sound racist here, Lily Whites, who basically come out and they honor each other. I mean, historically speaking, I mean, no, the last 40 years there have been changes of 50 whenever Sidney Poitier won the Academy Award. But, you know, I mean, it's the gold standard of professionalism in your business. But I really felt that Will went off the guardrails. He's a talented guy. And from what I see, there are people in the business who really need to sit down and get a lesson in behavioral modification. I really feel that.
Amen.
There's, huh?
Amen, brother. Come on, preach.
Yeah, well, I mean, I you know, I'm gonna call it because I see it, and I see it up close. I don't want to go any further before I start putting myself in odds with some people in my family. But the fact of the matter is that everybody has a certain level of stress. And if they can harness that stress and understand maybe what might have motivated this person to act the way he did and get the counseling that they need, and I'm not perfect, you know, I mean, I'm not an actor, I had no thespian skills at all, but the bottom line is that I'm not perfect, and I still think that we all need a little bit of therapy. In Will Smith's case, probably needs a lot of it, you know. I'm learning more about him that I never knew before. Met him once or twice, you know, and stuff like that. He just seemed like a regular brother. But I really thought with all of his vitriol at the time that he accepted his award that he had taken 2 seconds out to apologize to Chris Rock, but he was still steaming, you know. And it was commendable for Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry and can't think of the gentleman. He's an actor from New Jersey, white guy. He starred in a number of films with recently with Al Pacino. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that people came to his assistance, you know, but you know, I just wonder. And then there's this whole other argument that I have with our female friends about what, you know, and I got to say this carefully because I don't know who's listening, but the bottom line is there's some of us who basically can incite something just for the sake of, you know, inciting something, and there you go, you know. Some of our women,
that's extremely broad. That's extremely broad. You wanna?
I don't want to get too deep in the weeds about this, but you know, we all come from black mothers, and we all know how sometimes they could just look at you, and you could interpret it any way you want to. I know sometimes when my mother looked at me, it's like, you know, I constantly talk about this all the time. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but, you know, it was always this thing, wait till your father come home. You know, you're ill, you make me vex, this, that, and the third. You know, from a black American experience, I'm certain, God rest Kay, she's probably done that to you on a couple of occasions when you were growing up. Eric and Byron, you know, I think you identify with what, you know. And I guess the point I'm trying to get to is that with all of her alopecia-ness, I mean, she's a Jada Pinkett is a beautiful woman, you know. And I don't think the look that she cut Will was even a modicum amount necessary to incite whatever anger or I don't know. I mean, I'm not in their lives. I'm just observing the optic of what I saw didn't warrant the reaction.
I'm just.
I hope I cleaned that up.
Yeah, close enough. I'm just here realizing that. That what we witnessed was Will having a breakdown pretty much, right? Because he lost control in that moment. And so people are saying it was the, you know, bubbling up, the culmination of a lot of things, clearly. Everybody paying attention to what's going on in their personal life. And also they don't put that to a certain degree. But that was a breakdown in that moment. He lost control.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, lost control enough where people look at him and say, are you okay? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know? And because it was him and it's so out of character for him, you know, it seemed as though some people might have been initially more or some people more sensitive to him than how it ended up on Chris's, you know, from Chris's perspective. And, you know, I mean, both are valid. But it's like, you know, you lost control when you left, particularly at that spot. You know, he didn't have the control to say, I'm going to talk to him after or when when we go to commercial break. That's when I'll smack the shit out of him, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, because that would have still been exercising control, right? You know, that he
was
waiting.
Still got the same rating. That was for sure.
Yeah. Well, that would have been exercising control if he had done it off camera and off stage
and backstage
between the two of them. Yeah. So, I mean, we witnessed him having that breakdown at that moment, you know.
So what do you do?
The thing is, the real question,
like,
let me just get this out, B. The real question is,
okay,
what caused him to have the breakdown? That's the real question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now,
that's what everybody wants to know.
Because
and that's where
Jada
comes in the mix.
Yeah.
Other than
and
him, Chris talking about
it. They both need therapy. Like I said, they live in a bubble. Their family is a bubblicious family of a lot of conversation. So, you know, like I said, Dwayne Wade, God bless him, because that's a family situation that's very difficult to go through. Cookie and Magic, come on now. See what I'm saying? Because
I don't understand that.
Now are we condemning lifestyles? Are we? And
no,
when people
we're condemning
are in trouble,
what the actions that he took. We're condemning.
You
trying to conflate
to
them issues. I feel you on some tips.
No,
but
no,
some of the
no,
things
not
aren't equally.
Right.
I don't. Some of those
you
things aren't equally
right,
comparable.
He had a breakdown. So when a person has a breakdown like that, you get them help.
Exactly.
Help. You see what I'm saying? The week is about forgiveness. We are forgetting so much about why are we even we're engaging in the conversation about the slap versus the cure. The cure is that you see what
and
that's
and
where
I
we have to get back to our humanity.
I really think a lot of that falls on whatever the union, in my opinion. I don't know if they now offer certain things. I was in a somebody else's podcast a few weeks ago, and what's his name? These Are the Breaks, the rapper. God, I'm having a senior moment tonight. Yeah, and I he was on, and we were talking, and apparently he had suffered a near fatal heart attack, and he and Chuck D have started some sort of organization to get help for people who are in the business. But I don't know how many of us, and this thing just started as a result of Curtis Blow's health problems. But, I mean,
right.
there's so many of us who are in it in some way or some capacity and in need of help, really in need of help, you know.
The answer to your question is they do get paid. There is relief for those members. He is a member of Screen Actors Guild. They are paid into pension and welfare.
Well, yeah, and your health plan. That's part of the health plan.
You've got it. It's covered.
Okay.
It is covered to the max. That's a fact. So, I mean, it's there for them to use, and they will give him that. He's already in therapy. He's already announced that. So that's good. You see, and that's where it has to be the cure is, and then come back into society. But here's someone made a recommendation, fellas, which I think is brilliant. Do we really need Hollywood, Will Smith? Because our village has enough to take care of the Will Smith. We have Oprah. We got Tyler. We got a bunch of movie producers right now who can put a moneymaker in there. And you know what? Our people want to see Will keep working. Hello?
He's going to keep working. This film is going to come out.
His wealth will grow even better because it's us taking care of him, not waiting for Academy to take care of Will. Our village is a much more profound village where cure is available.
He's also got a lot of followers that non-black
That's
followers
right.
Fans all over the world. That
That's
are
gonna, right.
It's like Beyonce. He's got his crew.
Yeah.
It's the interesting thing that you said about the workplace, Wayne, and the union, because the unions, you know, there's guidelines when you go on a set. You're going to go work on a set.
That's right.
There's certain guidelines that you get. You know, sexual harassment, bullying, the whole nine. You got a whole package, just like any place else from human resources. You get a package. So people feel safe on set, and so that was
right.
in essence.
Yep.
Well, it was an industry, and people were working. Obviously, the presenters are working, and the actors, I guess, are appearing kind of working a little bit because they're promoting the industry and promoting their films. So there is some, you know, some programs in place to address that form. Let's kind of shift a little bit, talk about your mayor Wayne. Happened to contract COVID probably at the Gridiron Dinner down there where everybody kind of
I'm surprised
going around without a mask.
And the thing is just the day before that I attended Al Sharpton's convention at the Sheraton, and you know, I walked in with a friend of mine, and she wore a mask, I wore a mask. You sit there 15, 20 minutes, and half the room is not wearing a mask. You know, the people sitting on the dais aren't wearing a mask. Al Sharpton ain't wearing a mask. And then when you get home, you hear the news that, Eric Adams came down with this, but he didn't contract it there. He contracted it in D.C. at that Gridiron event. But, you know, the variant is out there. It's coming back. And now you have this whole issue about mask and not wearing mask again. And I tell you, I'm tired. I mean, I had to put one on today, and it was like 71 degrees, but I was in an area that I did not know some of the people that I was with, and I wanted to make sure that I protected myself because I have comorbidities. And that's it. But as soon as I felt comfortable and jumped back into my little car, I just decided to, you know, relax, I think, as most people do. And I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with respect to the summer, because I've always looked at this virus as a winter or autumn breeding disease. You know, when the weather got cold, it seemed to be more prevalent as people were indoors and stuff like that. But they got to come up with a cure, you know. I mean, as I feel that they need to come up with a cure for cancer, the flu, you name it, you know. But I know Eric Adams, particularly at this time, with all the nonsense going on in this city, I can't begin to tell you how, I guess all of us, I know you're all out of town, you know, just word of that shooting yesterday in Brooklyn. I got family in Brooklyn. And, you know, you don't know where people are at and what they're doing. Some, you don't know everybody's schedule.
Let's pause and, before we get to that. Let's exhaust this
all right.
particular subject, and then we'll get into that real quickly. I'm sorry, I got a cold, or I think pretty much allergies that I've been sort of Byron at the beginning of the show, Wayne. That's why I sound a little congested and stuff like
that. Yeah.
But the thing to me, Byron, I don't know if you heard of the news, you know, Eric Adams, after he got it apparently at that Super Spreader event down there in D.C., he went to a number of functions here unmasked, you know. He had a, you know, did the mayor thing. He had a function with disabilities. He had this other function he was at. He was rolling around without the mask on. So you a couple of the news outlets and a couple of people were saying, you know, it's a little disrespectful. He's quarantined now, which is why he wasn't able to be as hands-on.
With respect to him, where he got it, at the event here in D.C., because several of the cabinet members who were there, and as well as senators, have come down. And so that the point of which is like, you know, the nation has another variant that is striking. To play tiddlywinks with it, mask mandates is nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because at the point of which, would you, could you? But I'm gonna equate something that kind of reminded me of those people who were coming out of the subway from this event that just happened in Brooklyn. It's tragic, tragic. They had masks on. And they were appreciating the fact they had a mask on. Because at the point at which, unsuspected to them, they were about to really understand why a germ, yes, the smoke, a germ can permeate what you have on, even in place of protection. That they
right.
are, I can tell you, they're going to, every last one of those members, even with the guys who didn't have a mask on, their scarf or something was around their face. And they can tell you they appreciated that slight one moment, because that kept some of them from having, I guess you could call, failure of the lungs, because
right.
the smoke would have inhalated them and knocked them out. Then they would have been in more of a serious condition. So now I use that and take it to the super spreader event. It is important to understand we have got to be very conscious about the variants that keep coming in and out. There is no cure. There's only prevention at this moment. And those who are not willing to be preventive are threatening the lives of others who are trying their best to stay in that lane.
Yeah, that's really interesting that people don't realize now, because the virus, clearly, you know, we've been living with this for the last couple of years, and the different strains, some not as dangerous or potent as the other ones. But it would seem to me that those people who might have been hesitant about, you know, the shots and all that, after a minute of just common sense observation, might want to think about it. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, you know, there's people, I know people that are, obviously we all know people that are catching it and still boosted and whatnot and vaxxed, but still it's not resulting in the traumatic, devastating effects that it did before. And that's, you wonder what
you know,
some people
what,
are thinking, why it doesn't sink into the skull.
Yeah. I think one thing that's rather interesting is because the side effects of the COVID virus, it's too early to tell people these are the side effects. Really?
Right.
3 years. Think about
right.
it. How long did it take to discover that lead was poisoning our children?
Right.
And the neurological damage done to them because of lead pipes. There's generations of children and baby boomers and the plus
I was
that
just
are walking
say that.
Around right now who have been infected by that. And it took years for us to understand the correlation between neurological damage and just social misfits in public. And now part of COVID, it seems to me, rational reasoning could be a byproduct that's not yet understood, because we are saying, I'm hearing it a lot from everywhere, it doesn't make sense. Common sense, you know, logical.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the logic in some of these events? The guy gets caught on the train because he left his ID there. Now, what do we do with this knucklehead?
Hey,
you know, he didn't kill nobody. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
but look at the damage of a person who is a serial threat.
He killed people.
Rap sheet.
He killed somebody.
Yeah, he, you know, so at the point at which it's like, was he willing to submit himself to being caught? Because to me, when you leave that kind of detail behind, you're saying, catch me if you can. It's all there.
Well,
even the FBI logicians are saying the same thing. Wow, this is so easy. How long did it take to get him? Less than 12 hours.
Well, more like 30 hours, you know,
yeah.
I mean, from
no,
the beginning to
they
end.
Had a person of interest.
Oh yeah. Well, that part,
now.
right. You know, but they still, because there was speculation he probably could have committed suicide in Greenwood Cemetery,
right.
Which is huge and
yeah,
all
yeah.
that.
Right.
But
they even showed,
you know,
showed a picture of him coming through the turnstile with his vest on.
Now they're showing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm what I was particularly appreciative of in this particular instance. Once it turned out to be a brother, you know, and I was watching some of the coverage, local coverage, where they had the mayor speak, you know, and it was a split screen. So they had them saying the suspect has been caught, and the screen with the mayor saying, you know, when he gave the announcement, everybody has been caught. But it was two bald, clean-shaven brothers, pictures of brothers, the mayor, obviously bald, clean-shaven, the suspect, obviously bald, clean-shaven. And so I was appreciative of, and also then you had the commissioner, a black woman. I was appreciative of the image of black law enforcement alongside a black a lawbreaker, right? Because it worked against the stereotypical image that has been traditionally perpetuated in the past. So,
you read my mind.
And on tonight's nightly news, also when Lester was covering it, the person who did the story was Ron Allen. So here again, you know, instead of the constant image of the black perpetrator, you also had, in the same context, black newsmen, you know, and that stereotype that, like we said, tried to be perpetuated is not able to exist in that particular, you know, imagery.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really nice and impressive. I also think that, I don't know if some people did it intentionally in terms of directors or producers in the newsrooms.
Well, I you know, my sometimes I wonder, but I think, you know, there are enough of us now who understand the importance of the optics because, you know, this town is going through a metamorphosis that I was just telling.
There are enough of us
that are
in the positions, not just the optics. There are enough of us that are in the positions now. I think.
Yeah, well, now. But, I mean, back in the day when, you know, I was very active, your mother was very active, we didn't have that. And even to this day, I mean, Eric has already said, the mayor has already said on several occasions, that he's not really totally content with the kind of media coverage he gets because he feels that he doesn't see enough of us, people of color, you know, basically telling the story or asking the questions that should be asked. I was particularly impressed that, you know, I listened to a lot of radio, and CBS Radio, the all-news station, and WINS had given credit to our alma mater, WBLS, for having Eric on the air and early on Sunday disclosing that, you know, that he had come down with the virus and that he was, I guess the interview was done from home because he sounded highly, a little bit more congested than you do, Eric. But, you know, you could just tell there was a difference in the way he spoke, his rhythm, his cadence, all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that we're getting recognition, but it doesn't happen all the time. That's why it's so important that social media has come forward and, you know, and that shows like this need to be out there because, you know, there's so much misinformation. And you know, depending on where you go, people are wedded to the coverage that they feel most comfortable with. And it's unfortunate, you know. I don't know what. I'm sorry. That ain't me. The thing that really gets to me is just that something needs to be done about the whole issue about the misinformation because, and I have to say, Ukraine has really, the coverage on Ukraine has really hit the nail on the head about fact and fiction, fake and what's reality. And in some instances, again, I may sound biased because I have a thing about Fox News and the Murdoch empire, but the bottom line is, it's just I think there are times when they just don't get it right, or they promote certain agendas to sway people who are not news nerdy as we are to really discover what's going on and, you know, sift, you know, through the stories to get the accuracy of what's happening. It's almost like watching or listening to Russian state TV.
Fox, you think Fox News is actually... I'm just laughing. I'm being kind of, cynical.
Well, news part is one thing. It's the entertainment aspect, because I don't consider any of their hosts, whether they have a news background or not. You know, I can't think of one of the ones that are most prominent: Tucker Carlson, Hannity, the doctor in the evening, Ingram, and so many others. You know, this is garbage. You know, they are really dividing this country.
They kind of let it
something
seep their perspective. They kind of let their perspective seep into how they report the news. And let me circle back to the imagery of fortunately having black people in positions of authority at this time with this particular crisis, because if we remember just last week when two images, optical images, came up like that. First was, or the overriding one is seeing Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson and Kamala standing behind Joe Biden. That's one image. And then there, in terms of optics, positive optics, that you can see we're rising within the ranks of the society and being in positions of influence and power. But also when Barack Obama came to the White House earlier last week, and there was an image I saw on the internet of the three of them, Joe in the middle and Kamala and Barack on either side walking down the hallway. It was a really kind of cool image, and it reminded me of where we've come now, where we are in those positions of authority to affect policy to some degree. And so, you know, just like you said, Wayne, now that we're seeing in New York, blacks are in those more of those positions. You know, we're back in the day, you know, in the heyday of WLIB, or just the historical evolution of New York City and surrounding areas, and if not America, that was not the case.
Oh, and I think if they could turn the clock back, I know that was Trump's agenda. If he could bring back Bob Grant, I mean, I go back to the days that your mom and Grant would spar in the air, and the one that got the Medal of Honor who died, who I'm talking about. I'm embarrassed. not Bob Grant, Rush Limbaugh. It's just crazy. It seems like yesterday, because I lived that, and the funny thing is, again, white men of a certain generation, because I was in discussion with someone a couple of nights ago about that very subject, who looked at the optic of Barack Obama coming to the White House to basically, show his support and acknowledge his involvement with regard to the Affordable Care Act and the different nuances that Biden has done. So a white boy, I shouldn't say a white boy, but this gentleman took me to task because he said it didn't look right the way he handled himself. He's like, he upstaged Biden. I said, wait a minute. You know, you're looking at things from your perspective because you have not broadened yourself. You just see things a certain way. If anyone who felt upstage, and it was not done deliberately, but I'm certain it was a joke, when Barack referred to Joe Biden as vice president and Kamala was in the room, but everyone got the message it was a joke, you know. I mean, it didn't take away from the event. But you got people out there who have they just want something to say to bring us down, you know. Regardless of what goes on, I was, yeah, and that's what really bothered. gets it. It digs in my craw because I don't have the power or the juice to basically go out there or even have the desire after being in this business 40 some odd years, you know, to go out there and fight this good fight. I'm trying to see if I could pass what I've gone through down to some younger person to go out there and do the same. And I'm proud of the changes that have gone on, but there's a generation of certain people who just refuse to get it, and they just see things their way. And they're entitled to their opinion, but this is what divides us as a country.
It's what weakens democracy.
Are
you saying this guy was at a particular age that he should have known better? Was he a younger guy or what?
Well, he's older. He's older than I am. He's a businessman, yeah. Successful businessman.
So there's that bias and that they have about inherent bias,
I mean,
racial bias.
That's an accurate description.
Even though they would claim I'm not, that bias is still there. Things black, at,
right?
Or it'll manifest itself in them finding other little things to nitpick and be microaggressive about, but passive aggressive, but. That's the core of it.
And sometimes I find it exasperating. Sometimes I like to argue just to keep myself in practice if I get a job, you know, on Pierce or something. But you know, it's just crazy with what goes on out here, and you know, I don't understand the mindset, and I certainly don't understand this desire to close ranks with respect to, how do I put it, the whole critical race theory issue.
Critical
you
race
know,
theory.
I, like I
critical
argued
race
with him the
theory.
Other... Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, see, Wayne, because here's the capitulation that's not good for you or me or any of us. If we give into critical race theory, what you're denying is critical race truth. You have truth. The combating part of what you've had with the friend that you were saying you had the information and going to another job and blah, 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 this. Okay, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Since you've been working for yourself for how many years now, we don't need to know. The notion of being able to work for yourself is part of what freedom is all about. The reason why you're having doubts about going into the market again is because, number one, you don't want to be anybody's slave again, ever.
Thank you. And you don't have to subordinate yourself
to nobody, to nothing, because you know what? You earned your title.
But Byron and Eric,
you
earned
it.
You
put that back in their face,
and
then you say to them, hold on, Wayne, here's what you say that resolves you of any confrontation. You say to them this. You don't like Obama, fine. But let me ask you this question. Did you like him because there was no controversy in his administration and it was too easy for you to get to enjoy what your freedom of your democracy was all about without chaos? Or are you telling me you want to go back to the chaos of the last 4 years? And then you close the argument right there and say, thank you. I appreciate your wisdom and your conversation. God bless you. And walk away from it. You owe nothing to nobody, Wayne.
I hear you. I appreciate that. But I guess what I wanted to say, and I tried to say to him, I said, if you knew something about your culture, and I thought it would benefit me to learn. See, I'm all about, I want to be a sponge. And I think this is the one thing that really has motivated me in the last several years, particularly after Trump was elected, because I want to understand the basis, the pathos of what they're all about. What breeds this resentment, this racism, this garbage that we have to go through? But you know, I don't want to
really?
Be hidden.
I don't,
in a,
I don't give a shit.
I want to be able to read it. And I'm telling him, I said, hey, if I have something that would benefit you to understand me a little better, I would want you to have access to it. But no, you know, so all of a sudden it's you know, there's this pushback. I don't need to read about that. I know, you know, and therein lies the problem. You know what you know, and I know differently based on what I've read and what research I've done.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting take on it. I have a different perspective. I have a different perspective about it. I don't really care to, you know, if the people don't understand it, they don't want to understand. I don't care. You know, I mean, individuals who maybe at one time, you know, the whole notion of all of us living together and, you know, Dr. King's mountaintop speech, yeah, that's nice dreams and be nice if everybody could be that way, but it's not. And there's some individuals who are intent on it not being that way, to say the very least, if not annihilating everything that represents any type of progress towards our freedom. So the whole kind of understand, don't you want, I don't give a shit anymore. And my perspective is that it is our right to exist in this world and have a pursuit of happiness and self-determination like any other people, and not going to explain or feel I need to explain or try to reach out. Or, you know, I think because we've been the minority in this country, the whole thing of, you know, we're always the ones that have to be more compassionate. You know, that we've heard that discussion float around within the last year or two, talking about shootings of young black men. You know, the black community to be more compassionate, more restrained, even when the cops, you know, people have their hands up protesting, the cops are shooting at them. We have to exercise restraint and compassion, and can't be angry in circumstances where the average individual would be irate. Black people have to show superhuman stoicness and nobility and all that bullshit in the movies and the culture and the things that suggest that in our society, you know, movies and TVs, when you show stuff like that, the noble black sufferer and all that. Obviously, at one time, that was the only way we could get our story across and get people to identify with our plight, but it also exists to me within the parameters and confines of a country that has been developed in white supremacy. And so our perspectives about, and also too, just not having the numbers. I mean,
yeah,
I think that if you're the minority and you're being oppressed, you do have to take certain different routes in terms of when you're pursuing freedom than you would if you were in the majority, right? Because if you're in the majority, you could just roll on the Capitol. You could just protest, and everybody decide, we're going to walk up on the Capitol, doggone it, and do what, we don't care the rules. You're going to do what we said, or else somebody's going to swing. You know, you could do shit like that when you're in the majority, right? And nobody's really going to hold you accountable. Are the other members of your demographic going to hold you accountable? Apparently not. They haven't been doing it for 400 years, or the ones that have been trying to hold them accountable are in such a small minority that, you know, we're
as Marjorie Taylor Greene said, it only happened one time, you know. It only happened one time. This, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
She had the nerve to say that. Seven people are laying in their graves now because of her stupid, you know, the nonsense that she's associated with.
They're associated with that old-timey, down south, you know, southern, we're going to get our justice and protect our women, and we're Americans, damn it, in the government. You know, it's like I said before, you know, people know more about their favorite athlete than they do the person voting on issues that affect their lives. And to suggest that or act like it's too complicated, and, you know, the kind of vibe that a lot of people have where they just throw up their hands and, oh, it's just politics. Ah, the politicians. No, it's not all the politicians. And if you were to pay attention to that shit, like you do the stats of your favorite baseball player and how many times they got up the bat and what they did 5-6 years ago as opposed to now, and you're dividing and you're adding and you're figuring it out and you're giving the average and shit, but you can't know what your state representative, how they voted for your health care or what they said about, you know, Social Security and Medicare being expanded. You can't know those few facts, and you could know all those other things. That sounds like a choice to me, a choice to be ignorant,
yeah,
or a choice just to pay attention to the things you want to pay attention to. you know, and you have a certain perspective about, you know, what you see and how you'd like the society to develop, either progress or stay the same. And some people, obviously the ones that have a vested interest in it staying the same, where they get first-class citizenship and everybody else is treated like shit. I guess you wouldn't want to give that up, huh? When you get a chance to sit in the front row all the time.
Yeah, right.
When you get preferred seating and everywhere you go, I guess you probably wouldn't want to give up any advantages. So, you know, democracy doesn't work for the people.
As
who
you
be
said,
rich.
The optics are changing. I mean, you look at what happened with Jackson the other day, Judge Jackson, and you know, and I have to give Biden, whether he's a one-time president or not, we've had more in the last year and a half in terms of progressive gains as a country, you know, than we had in the last 4 years from the man who swore up and down that, you know, black colleges have got more funding, you know, during the course of his administration than any other president has tried before. You know, I mean, every time that I hear that comment, or if it's played back, you know, just sort of, you know, again, another thing that digs in my craw about his the nonsense and people who basically buy into it. I just saw Joy Reid had a segment on with Herschel Walker. I don't know what planet he's on. But these are the people that I worry about. You know, I worry what impact they're having on the small few that aren't as literate or understand. And there's nothing worse than having someone illiterate trying to teach someone to be literate, you know.
I would venture to say that they probably have a very small impact. If we're talking about someone like Herschel, a black American, obviously they're trying to use him to reach out to conservative blacks, which is a very, very small percentage of the country. So, you know, whoever they're trying to reach out to, it's not a significant number of African Americans. It's all a significant number depending on how much they could get. But they're probably not going to get that number that's going to help them achieve what they want, at least from black people, I don't believe.
Yeah.
You know.
It's crazy.
Part of that whole concept, now think of this, gentleman. All right, in your right mind, they're putting up Aunt Jemima to run for a political office. Think about it. Herschel Walker suffering from CTE. He's suffering from a head damage playing football. Come on.
Yeah.
He threatened his wife with a gun.
Right.
So you're telling me that the good white people of Georgia, because they think they have the most votes, are going to be convinced enough to vote for that clown? You tell me now, hold on, because I'm really having a confusing moment here in my mental state of being in Washington, D.C., because I'm trying to understand how that individual replacing Raphael Warnock in the well of the Senate being worse than Tim Scott.
I tell you.
The GOP is actually spending millions of dollars to put this mother in front of us.
Gone.
Excuse my language. It's holy, y'all. And I'm trying to stay holy. I am trying. But y'all are testing my last nerve.
Well, you know, they can't find any black people too. You know, they got very few. They got very few pickings to find African Americans to run with them.
I don't know where they found Scott, but you know, I think that's the biggest embarrassment.
I mean, that's why they went out and got Herschel, because you know they can't find anybody to do that. So they get these very ignorant people. And did Herschel say he has CTE, or you're just saying? Because he played football.
No, I'm calling it what it is. Anybody who sits there
and tells me it has actually been reported that he actually suffers actually from CTE.
Eric.
But it can be inferred
Eric.
He played football for so long. You get that. You keep trying to build these little bridges, brother, between the facts and the assumptions.
Eric, hold
and I'm keep you
on
the fact
tip.
I'm going to separate the
interview.
Two. I shall not allow that bridge to be built over this moat. Go.
See, I don't have to make up this story. I don't even have to conjecture it. I witnessed it because they're silly enough to put it on TV in an interview on a national television network. Might have been 60 Minutes. Herschel Walker sits there and tells the interviewer he's got a spray at the front of his front room when you come into his mansion that is a spray, some kind of mist that you can walk to that will de-COVID you. Now, I'm asking you because he showed it in his interview, and I'm asking you if you saw that on a national network TV, which it was, and you've heard a politician tell you that, whose name happens to be Herschel Walker, you're going to tell me he is not suffering from some kind of head damage?
I wouldn't tell you that.
I rest my case.
I hear you.
I don't think that's the two necessarily one equals the other. But what does necessarily equal it, that he's talking out the side of his neck. That's the direct correlation you can make there. Whether it's because he might have suffered some CTE or whether he really believes that kind of house Negro stuff all his life, who knows? But I can tell you the one factual thing you would know is that it sounds crazy, and he's coming from a place of uninformedness.
Yeah. I have something to share with you guys because it's a New York thing, and I love to share news on this show because we can scoop anybody anytime we want to. Here's my latest. Starting May 20th through July 3rd, I'm happy to announce that I have signed a contract to be the stage manager for the next Negro Ensemble Company show, June 13th through July the 3rd. And I will be the production stage manager for a show that is called Lambs to Slaughter, being directed by Reginald Douglas. It's a play by Cahill Kane, and I'm happy to be a part of the Negro Ensemble Company future. This is a very important show that will be playing at Cherry Lane Theater down in the West Village. It is going to be exceptional. It's a wonderful story. And because, you know, Wayne and Eric, we have to share the stories that bring us a talk about how we get involved to help our institution survive and sustain. I'm on ground zero with that, and I'm honored to be a part of that mix and come back and show what we tell the stories that are important to us.
That's fantastic.
Well,
we got about 2.5 minutes left. Let me just ask you real quick, where is NEC? Are they still have some office facilities, right, but they no longer have a theater?
Are,
so are you going to be working towards getting a space?
Yeah, they have an office.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Excuse me?
Are you guys going to be is NEC going to be working back towards getting a theater, a physical building again, or is it going to be?
Well, they have an office. It's on Broadway. Mm-hmm. It's located at 1460 Broadway, third floor, New York, Manhattan, 10036. So, yes, they have an office. The theater, only a National Black Theater Company owns its theater. That's another whole story. But of course, Billie Holiday. Now, Cherry Lane Theater is in the West Village. It's a wonderful theater, very special. It's nice to be there. I had a show there before, but NEC does not have a home theater.
We got 90 seconds. Be real quick. Is NEC, is that part of the plan to work towards getting a space again? Do you know?
Always. Real estate is important in New York City. Always.
Right.
We must own our own facilities.
Absolutely.
There
it is.
No matter where.
Go. Give the people your sign off, B, while you're talking.
Peace and love always. Happy Easter, people. The Christ will be rising. Prepare for the coming. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. All right, Brother Byron Saunders, legendary historian. We will talk to you again, and congratulations on your new job. And we're going to be looking forward to it. Talk to you in a minute. Brother Wayne Gilman.
Tickets are coming.
All right. Brother Wayne Gilman.
Hey, man.
Legendary newsman. Give the people his
congratulations, Byron, and keep the faith, brother. Hang in there.
There it is from legendary newsman Wayne Gilman. Seen it all. We'll talk again, Wayne. Take care.
Okay. Take care.
All right, folks. We were able to get in some good discussions from our perspectives. And this is Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Kay's Son, and those are the friends of my mother, Kay Thompson, and friends of mine. And, we took a little bit off, but we're going to be jumping off and doing it again sometime soon, all right? We'll talk to you again. Listen, Let me see if I can get a little Chuck. There it is. Chuck D. I'm out. See you later. Blog Talk Radio. Case and his friends. And fight.